and the best on the planet.
It's time for the biggest sports stories.
Chelsea, the UEFA Champions League winners of 2021.
The biggest interviews.
That such a great spectacle is ruined by such thuggish behaviour.
And all the analysis right here.
He's the one player that has the arrogance to think that he can play in any stadium in the world and any pitch in the world in front of any player in the world and take them on.
Every weekday, it's my sport, it's your sport. It's ZFM Sport. Let's join the team for the biggest show in the world of sport on ZFM Stereo. My station, your station.
Monday evenings don't get better than this. An opportunity to pick apart the weekend that was in the world of sport, local as well as international. Good evening, Zimbabwe. Welcome to ZFM Sport. And this evening, you're in the company of Barry Manandi, Alois Bunjira, Mike Madoda, and our producer, Sean Tafirinyika. Unfortunately, Chris won't be joining us this evening. We hope she'll be back on the show tomorrow, Top Hit Tuesday. What are the top stories you can look forward to on Manic Monday on the home front? All-rounder Sean Williams says Zimbabwe need to do the basics well as the Chevrons' hopes of reaching the semi-finals of the ICC Men's T20 World Cup suffered a major blow after losing by 3 runs to the Tigers of Bangladesh in an exciting game at the iconic Gabba in Brisbane yesterday. In the Castle Lager Premier Soccer League, Dynamo's coach Tondirai Stanzandiraya says his side need to win their remaining games as the Glamour Boys dented their hopes of salvaging a runner-up finish following their drab goalless draw with fierce rivals Highlanders at the National Sports Stadium yesterday. And in Around the World in 60, we have updates from New Zealand, the United States, as well as Mexico.
In the Costa Lago World Football Report, Manchester United forward Marcus Rashford, who scored the winner in the Red Devils' victory over West Ham, says there is a different energy at the club now that he's feeling fully motivated after 4 performances last season cast doubt about his future at Old Trafford. In La Liga, Carlo Ancelotti says an invented penalty cost Real Madrid all 3 points in a draw with Girona last night. And in Serie A, AC Milan head coach Stefano Pioli admitted to being disappointed with the side's performance as their unbeaten away league run ended against Torino.
The home front. Local sports news and analysis.
All right, let's give you a local sports news roundup before we get into the meat of the matter. Let's start with golf news. Zimbabwe's Robson Chinoy announced his growing status as one of the rising golfing stars on the continent after cruising to a dominant 10-shot victory in Uganda Open on Saturday. The informed player, who has already won the Kinshasa and Lubumbashi Open in recent weeks, was simply in a class of his own in the star-studded field, which featured some of Africa's leading players on the Safari Tour. On to rugby news, Zimbabwean clubs dominated the Zambia Independence Rugby Sevens Challenge with FC Raiders successfully defending their title in the women's category, while Harare Sports Club emerged victorious in the men's category in the competition, which was played in Lusaka on Saturday. Harare Sports Club capped off a successful tour by defeating Zambian side Buffaloes 29-10 in the final, while FS Raiders beat Old Georgians 31-0 in an all-Zimbabwe final. We wrap it up with boxing news. Kurohwashe Teikmani Chiwandire will face Mexican Yamalee Mercado for the World Boxing Council WBC Super Bantamweight main title after Mercado defended her crown on Saturday night. Chiwandire, who became the mandatory challenger for the prestigious gong following the successful defense of her WBC interim strike against another Mexican, Zuliana Munoz, a fortnight ago in Harare, has been waiting to know her next opponent for the Apex belt.
The Warriors, the Chevrons, the Cheetahs, the Mighty Warriors, and the Sables. From the pool to the track to the field, we are Team Zimbabwe.
Right, let's get into the top story, and we are talking cricket. All-rounder Sean Williams says Zimbabwe need to do the basics well as the Chevrons' hopes of reaching the semi-finals of the ICC Men's T20 World Cup suffered a major blow after losing by 3 runs against the Tigers of Bangladesh in an exciting game at the iconic Gabba in Brisbane yesterday. Zimbabwe's defeat was their first in the Super 12 after seeing their game with South Africa abandoned before they had stunned Pakistan by 1 run in a last ball thriller. Let's give you the tale of the tape. Bangladesh 154-7 on the back of Najmul Hossain Shanta, who made a brilliant 71. And then the pick of the bowlers for the Chevrons, a blessing was Zarabani 2-13 and Ngarava 2-24. Zimbabwe in reply in the chase, 147-8, falling short by 3 runs. Sean Williams 64. He was the backbone of the attempted chase. Ryan Bell 27 at the end, but the bowlers that did the damage, predominantly Taksin Ahmed 3-19, we couldn't stand up to his pace. Mr. Fuzur Rahman 2-19 and Mossadegh Hossain 2-34. Now let's get the post-match thoughts of Chevron's all-rounder Sean Williams.
We try and take things day by day. You know what's gone, you know, we can't change anything from that, and just going back to the basics and sticking to what we do best is our strength, and that's what we try to do. We can still carry on going up. It's only one way to go, and that's to continue learning and to continue growing. I think this squad that we've got here is an excellent bunch of people and human beings, and you know, it's all about each other and it's not about individuals, and I think that's the most important thing. From when I first started playing until today, walking into this dressing room definitely puts a smile on my face. Even before I even get there in the hotel room, I'm packing my stuff. It's exciting to get into this dressing room and do training, and it's just there's a different aura about it. And yeah, this team can go places. It's the attitude that this team brings into certain things, where things we may not have been dealt the best of cards, but the attitude that they bring to facing a situation like that, they're always bringing out the positive in something, no matter how bad something is, and that for me is huge. You know, just speaks volumes of them as individuals and as a group of players as well, and that sets a very big example for people coming through. And I think they're going to go far.
Sean Williams speaking after the game there, and he speaks glowingly, Barry, about the attitude of the Chevrons, the individual players, the collective unit, how much the vibe, you know, as the youngsters like to put it this these days, is so much better around the Zimbabwe national cricket team. But when you take a look back at this game as an individual match, you have to say that there was an opportunity loss here, because this is a game that was winnable and a game that should have been won.
Hugely, a massive opportunity missed, because you can look through the scorecard and look at the batters and their performance, and chiefly among them Raza with his duck, and you'll say to yourself, could we not find the 3 runs in there? Yeah, hindsight is 20/20, but in truth, I think we gave away wickets cheaply. We also weren't great in the field. So when he talks about doing Sean Williams talks about doing the basics right, I think he's spot on in that regard. The vibe, great, it should continue that way, but at the first and foremost level, you are a cricketer, you need to execute the basics correctly, and this is a massive opportunity missed, because this is a World Cup.
Yeah.
and you probably only get one bite at this cherry.
With fate actually having dealt us a good hand versus the Proteas, a game that we were destined to lose, we got 1 point from there.
Yeah.
And what would have been a heavy defeat, and of course a blight on our net run rate, really wasn't loaded on us. So no, we got that very valuable point. South Africa goes on to beat India. We shall talk about that a bit later on. We had a fantastic opportunity to go top of that group.
Yes.
Heading into the last couple of matches.
100%.
And depending on which way the weather rolled into the different towns and venues in Australia, we could have been in a position where we could have had an outside chance, even a good chance, of making it to the semifinals. You talked about two things, Barry.
Yeah.
The fact that, look, our opening batsmen have not done us any favours whatsoever throughout the tournament. Mm-hmm. And indeed, even in matches preceding the tournament, the opening combination and, of course, just the top order performances have been something to worry about. And it looks like it's a problem that we haven't fixed for the World Cup.
Yeah.
And looks like it's something that Zimbabwe cricket has got to look at fixing. Our selectors, certainly, and our coach have got a challenge on their hands there.
Yeah, it's just like in this game. It's just one day where we won't get the get out of jail card, because we almost got it here, and yet again we would have gotten over the line when nobody expected us to, and it's chiefly because of the reason you speak about. We don't have a platform, we have nothing to build upon. During the power play we lose 4-5 wickets. You're already putting yourself against behind
the
eight
ball. Is that what's putting pressure on Raza? I'm not making excuses for him,
but we
have to talk about Raza's performances.
Sure.
Now, in as much as we will of course sing the man's praise Jesus when he does well, and we have done that. But I think he's also got to take stick when he doesn't exactly do well. And if you take a look at the manner in which he's lost his wicket in a few of the matches that we have played, it's been nothing short of sheer arrogance.
It has. And
poor shot selection.
Yep.
Just like in this match.
And
that was an injudicious shot to try and play. If you take a look at the match circumstances, could have been a bit more circumspect.
Yep.
He's the type of batsman that has got the hitting power, so he would have caught up.
He would have, yeah. And the thing is that I think Raza, yes, he watched the video that Ricky Ponting did of him, but he also needs to watch the video that Andy Flower did of the whole team.
Mm.
Andy Flower spoke very, very deliberately about being in control and not being frenetic. Raza is beginning to play cricket in a frenetic fashion, particularly his batting, and that's causing us to have the problems that we're having. He needs to get himself in and then begin to open up. He wants to go first ball over the top six. That's not... Listen, it's not... It may happen, but don't try it first ball.
Just to put a bit of context to that, you know, because there's sort of like two types of T20 batsmen, especially the ones that make an impact.
Sure.
You know, the frenetic batsman is your Glenn Maxwell.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, Glenn Maxwell can go off.
Yeah.
And he's
kick off
virtually
ball, yeah.
unstoppable.
Yeah.
Okay? But the problem is, 50% of the time, he fails.
Yeah, yeah,
because
yeah.
he just isn't, you know what, reading the game well, reading the match situation well. Then your players like your Virat Kohli's, your players like your Kane Williamson, then you got players like your AB de Villiers in different generation who are able to, you know what, gauge, read the match situation, work your way into an innings, and then really take off when it was necessary. And I think Raza has got to look at the AB de Villiers model a lot more than the Glenn Maxwell model.
But look at the position which Glenn Maxwell plays. He's batting down at 7. He's your finisher. Okay, he's out there to finish a game. Raza's batting 4, 5, and 6. So you've got responsibilities in that position on the batting lineup. So you can't then want to tee off first ball. You've got to, like you talked about, the context of the game, understanding that and getting it. And we love the fun that he did.
Was gettable. That was
very
below
gettable.
Par.
Very gettable. It was below par, and we could have got there. Unfortunately, we're talking about shoulda, woulda, coulda. And now we've got to beat Netherlands. We've got to beat India. it's looking unlikely.
We got our calculators out again. I want to bring Alois into this conversation because, you know what, we talked about Raza and the possibility of arrogance creeping into the game. Alois, of course, you played a professional sport at this era, different sport, of course, in football. But do you keep an eye on the headlines? Do you listen to the pundits? Were you listening to them? Were you reading the Herald, for example, the South African newspapers? Were you grabbing a copy of Kickoff? You know, what is
in yourself on the cover?
As a professional athlete, you know, does that affect the way you approach your games? Does it influence you?
Yeah, it does. It does. I'd read like almost all the newspapers. You want to see what they're saying, what especially after a good game. You know, you wanna really see the congratulatory messages or the phrases. You know, it actually helps with your game as well. Actually,
with the confidence,
it brings the confidence. It brings this positive attitude. But there's a thin line.
Yes, I was gonna ask that. But can that confidence become overconfidence when, for example, there's an expectation?
Yes.
Alois is the star. Alois has to score.
Yeah,
and then you want to try and do that all the time.
Yeah, there's a thin line now that you might actually forget that you're playing for the team and you want to play for yourself. You know, once you start doing that now, it creates a very big problem for the team because at times you don't want to pass because you want the glory, you want that other headline again. But if you are level-headed, you can actually chill and know that you can still do it in the context of the team.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, we are hoping that Zimbabwe will be able to pull finger, as it were, and put in two big performances. And hopefully, we have got a chance of making the semi-finals of the Cricket T20 World Cup, which would be a phenomenal achievement, considering where Zimbabwe was 6, 9, 12, 18 months ago. Now, let's take, of course, a look at what's happening at the World Cup. Glenn Phillips blazed 104 from 64 balls as New Zealand recovered from a stuttering start to overwhelmed Sri Lanka by 65 runs in Sydney. And then earlier today, Australia sealed a 42-run win over Ireland to propel themselves above England in the Super 12s. How do things look in the different groups? In Group 1, New Zealand leading the way. They have 5 points. They've been joined by Australia. England have got 3 points. Ireland also have 3 points. Sri Lanka and Afghanistan have got 2 points. But there's a big game that's on tomorrow. It's England versus New Zealand. And depending on how things go in that game, they could, of course, flow in the way of Australia, the host. In Group 2, South Africa leading the way, 5 points. India have 4. Bangladesh also have 4 points. And Zimbabwe have 3 in 4th place. Pakistan have been underwhelming in this tournament. They got 2 points. And then the Netherlands are, of course, shakers. They got 0 points from their 3 matches played. I talked about that England versus New Zealand game. That's the second game that's on tomorrow. But before that, we have a nice appetizer. It's Afghanistan taking on Sri Lanka.
From Rufaro to Barberfield, Mandava to Nyamunga, all the perfect moments in the Castle Lager Premier Soccer League come together on ZFM Sport.
Right, let's continue with local sport, and this time we're talking about the Castle Lager Premier Soccer League, where Dynamo's coach Tondera Indirai says his side need to win their remaining games as the Glamour Boys enter their hopes of salvaging a runner-up finish following their drab goalless draw with fierce rivals Highlanders at the National Sports Stadium yesterday. Dynamo's draw coupled with Chicken Inn's last gasp 2-1 win over Makepe Kepe Caps United. So the Gamecocks leapfrog Dimbare to second position on the table with just 2 games remaining. Let's hear from Tondera Indirai, the Dynamo's coach.
We also consider that we were chasing Chicken Inn, so to speak, today. But we couldn't get maximum points. But I'm happy with the point. I'm happy with the point. But we really need to put our act together and make sure that we collect maximum points in the next 2 games which are coming. Not easy, difficult, but that's part of the game. That's part of the game. We have to we have to be up to the challenge and make sure that we finish this season on a high.
Alois, Tondera Indirai is talking about finishing the season on a high, but you've got to say that Dynamos is not exhibiting the form that's required to do that.
Yeah, they're definitely not. You know, if you judge by the way they played this past weekend, yesterday for that matter, it doesn't inspire at all. You know, I wasn't impressed with the whole game, even at Highlanders as well. I think the match was very down. To finish it on a high, you need to inspire.
You gotta want it.
Yeah, you need to inspire. You must see the hunger. That, you know, this is a team that is trying to finish on a high. But I didn't see that yesterday. I don't know, maybe the last 2 games, I think the 2 games left now.
We're hoping.
Yeah, but at the moment it's a low.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. Barry, I mean, listen, and I say this without exaggerating. For me, that's the worst game of football I've watched in the Premier League this season.
Yeah, never mind the names that were there. And these are two of the biggest teams in the country.
Biggest match
in the league. This is our Kaizer Chiefs versus Orlando Pirates. Zamalek versus Al-Ahli. And there's Dynamos versus Highlanders. And it was a drab affair. In truth, we could have snoozed and we wouldn't have missed much. That was the challenge. And there was
first shot of target, 61st minute. Not a single shot on target in the first half.
And there was a speculative effort from outside the box.
That's what football should be all about. Attacking and missed chances.
Especially
scoring.
A game of this
That's
nature.
That's what we want to That's, entertain.
And a derby like this should start at frenetic pace.
Yeah,
it should
think from
tackles flying in. I can't recall us seeing any sort of bite in that game.
It looked like a practice match.
It looked like a practice match. I saw one player on the field, though, who really wanted it, and it was King Nadolo.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, because I think, I don't have his appearance for statistics, but I think he's got less than 5 starts this entire season. Mm-hmm. So perhaps he had fire in his belly to try and show that he deserved to be on that field. But he was the only one who shone through, perhaps, and Divine Mindivia, but he played within himself. He was exhibiting what we know of him. He's a class, talented midfielder. And so we saw that. But those two players, apart from that, there was nothing to even write home about that we went to a football match.
Right, let's turn our attention to the other end of the log table, and that is in the relegation dogfight, which has taken a new twist, because Bulawayo City staged a smash and grab 1-0 victory over nearest rival ZPC Kariba at Nyamunga on Saturday. On the same day, the National Sports Stadium Harare City did themselves no favors as they were restricted to a 1-0 draw by relegated Wawa. How do things look like at the bottom? Wawa, of course, relegated. Tenex are gone. Then Harare City are on 29 points. They need something like a minor miracle now to survive. Harare City are all but gone. But Bulawayo City, they live to fight another day. They're on 33 points, while ZPC Kariba are just 2 points ahead on 35, with Yada 3 points ahead on 37. Cranbourne Bullets, Yada 36, I mean, and Cranbourne Bullets on 37, meaning that they are all within reach. They haven't yet survived mathematically. You've got to commend, Alois, the fighting spirit of Bulawayo City. They keep fighting. They got that 3 points versus Dynamos, and it seems to have instilled some sort of belief and confidence that, you know what, hang on, we can match these teams. If we can beat Dimbare, we can go to places like Nyamunga and win.
You know, I'm sure they wish that they had that spirit at the beginning of the season, or especially in the middle of the season. That's where they dropped a lot of points, right in the middle of the season. And then they just woke up and saw themselves in the relegation zone. Maybe they just decided, you know what, but we can actually fight. They've got a good side. They're now collecting very valuable
funded
points.
Funded by Bulawayo City Council. Yeah, exactly. There's financial stability there.
There was a time when you looked at the log, I think maybe 6 games ago, you would think, they're gone.
Yeah.
Because they were playing so badly, and they were not looking like they were going to get any points. So it was more like, these ones are gone. You know, it was just Harare City that we thought maybe they can still survive. But for City, they just...
I think it's a momentum thing, and in truth, you can have negative inertia, you can have positive inertia, so you can start to get good results. So like you point out, Mike, that result against Dynamo sort of gave them the wind beneath their wings. I think it was the same in the middle of the season when it was going the other direction. Now they better hope that this can take them into the last two games, and who knows? Because
I want to hear from you guys. Okay. Who you guys are tipping to survive, because I want to first of all give you the next match day fixtures, because I think then that sort of like adds some perspective to, of course, the situation here, because right now, again, I will repeat, of course, that Bulawayo City, they've got 33 points. They're sitting in the fourth and final relegation spot, so they've got 33 points. And then ZPC Kariba, they are 2 points clear on 35 points. Yada, 3 points clear on 36. The fixtures for this coming match day, I think this is when it'll be decided. I think it'll be decided this weekend. Right. Let me tell you, Yada plays Chicken Inn at the National Sports Stadium. That's on Friday. They'll know early if they're going to be sweating it out on the final match day. And then Bulawayo City, okay, they are going to be playing Harare City.
Shucks.
This is at Barber Fields.
Shucks.
That's a six-pointer. Harare City have to win this. Yeah. Otherwise, they go down.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that.
Either they win or they go down.
So it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy, this one, for Bulawayo City. And then ZPC Kariba, they are going to be on the road. They're at Barber Fields to take on Highlanders on Sunday.
No. That love is something.
So now, based on the next match day, Alois, who stays up, who goes down?
Based on the match day, this next match day, I'm afraid ZPC Kariba might go down.
Might
go down, because Bulawayo City might just sneak it
against Harare City.
Yes.
Okay. That's right. Barry, you laughed.
I think it's going to the final match day, and I know it's weird to say, but I think Yada's going.
You reckon Yada?
I think Yada.
Either Yada or ZPC.
I think Yada.
So you guys are all saying, you know, Bulawayo City are going to
win.
Tell us, guys, what do you think? Do you agree with Barry and Alois? 0731 is the number. 0731-168-045. That's the number. 0731-168-045. Barry tipping Yada to go down after match day 34. Alois saying that, you know what, by the end of match day 33, ZPC Kariba could well be in the relegation zone. Bulawayo City look like they've got wind in their sails and momentum to go with them. Send us a message on Twitter and Facebook as well if you can at ZFM Sport. Coming up, we take you around the world in 16 with a bit of a breather. Our play of the day, music from Nikki Genius featuring Toki Vibes. You don't want to miss that.
Hi, my name is Runi Shamba, my Toria Super Striker. You're listening to ZFM Sport.
Around the world in 60 seconds. International sports news.
Well, we take off in New Zealand, where England insist they have no plans to change their forward-dominated game plan after a 41-5 win against Australia set up a Women's Rugby World Cup semi-final against Canada, who beat the United States 32-11 in their quarter-finals. Defending champions New Zealand hammered Wales 55-3 to set up a semi-final with France, who defeated Italy 39-3. In the United States, LeBron James scored 26 points and Anthony Davis added 23 to help the LA Lakers to their first win of the season with 121-110 victory over the Denver Nuggets. Yes, I said it. First win of the season. Russell Westbrook had 18 points for the Lakers, who had lost their first five games of the season under first-year head coach Darvin Ham. In Mexico, Max Verstappen claimed to hit a record 14th victory of his extraordinary 2022 season after comfortably seeing off the challenge of Lewis Hamilton and Mercedes at the Mexico City Grand Prix. The race, while billed as Mercedes' big chance of the season to break their duck, was instead dominated by the double world champion, who held off the silver arrows at the start and then characteristically stormed away. Don't miss full details on tomorrow's show in the Zamoco Formula One report, brought to you by Zamoco.
Fan Zone. Get in touch with the team and have your say your way.
Operator.
Right, this is the Fan Zone, a chance for you to have your say your way on the show. That's for the fans. 0731-168-045. Keep your messages coming in. Hi, ZFM Sports team. May you kindly start previewing World Cup teams, perhaps venues, how much each team will earn, etc, etc. That's coming from K's for GV7.
But we know the leagues are still on.
Yeah, we're going to do a comprehensive build up to the World Cup, so Case, don't worry, we got you covered, buddy. But yeah, Zimari, I just want to say, with someone, I think this is going to be a very lucrative World Cup, because you know it's set to be the biggest one yet, and so as soon as FIFA release the official figures, we'll let you know. We're not going to speculate much. You know, some of the stuff that goes around in the media is really speculation.
It is.
And we'll feed you, of course, with the official news that is coming out of FIFA headquarters. More messages coming in here. Hi guys, it's Prince in Chitungwiza. And as much as we are disappointed with the Chevrons that they lost versus Bangladesh, we have seen improvements. I mean, we lost by three runs.
Sure.
We should be proud. Okay, I hear his point.
Yes, and we take it on board.
At a World Cup tournament, though, the fact is, we lost.
Yes. Mm. When you get that close at a World Cup, and we want to contextualize it. Look, we're not being a wet blanket and trying to say, you know, just be naysayers. What we're saying is that when you're at a World Cup and you get within three runs, finish the job off, especially when, on the last ball, you just need a boundary. Or, at the very minimum, you need to get it far enough at a huge, huge gap to run your three.
So we could have done something. You know, get bat on ball. Don't try and double step the second last ball and hit it out of the park. I know you've just done that the previous ball, but just get bat on ball. That's all.
And you know, we acknowledge that the team did well.
Yeah.
But we cannot then say we are proud.
Yeah.
You know, proud. Being proud is not like we are thinking.
It's
a missed opportunity. Yeah. We need to get it into our heads that we could have done better.
Yeah, absolutely. Hans, good evening, sports team. Good analysis there on Raz's approach to the game. Sure could have been done in that latest match. Tonde should just be a PR officer. I think he's talking about Dimbari here. And then he goes on to the industry. Guns Potter's bubble had to finally burst, ironically, against a team he built. Thank you so much for that message. The messages are coming in. Hansie, Bulawayo City to edge Harare City 1-0. That's MC in Glenora. More local football. Hi there, guys. I feel pity for ZPC Kariba. Borso needs to cement a top four finish because Ngezi is breathing down their neck. It's a must win for both. I see Borso prevailing. That is Setoboli in Bulawayo. I can tell you that Ngezi is no longer breathing down Highlanders' neck. Highlanders is the one that's breathing down Ngezi's neck because Ngezi now is in the top four.
Yeah.
After they of course, crept into the top four this past weekend. Highlanders are now a point behind Ngezi. So Highlanders are the ones doing the chasing. If Ngezi win their final two matches, it's curtains. They will finish in the top four. And it'll be a credible achievement there for Tek Shochiragu.
Credible return as well as probably the best job interview that he could have done to get the job on a full-time basis. And I'll be very surprised if they don't give him the job because he's done enough to be given it.
Hi guys, I like your show. Happy with Man United yesterday. It's Pipilo from Osborne Dam. Thank you so much for getting studio. And then we'll wrap it up with this message. As hello guys, I hear FIFA has invited Kamambo and his team to the World Cup. Showpiece. What does this mean to Zimbabwe football and this animal called ASR?
No, I think it was just that, you know, invitations go out to everyone.
No,
and the invitation went out. Yeah, it's a mailing list.
No, it's not a mailing list, guys.
It's a mailing list.
It's a mailing list, guys. Come on. It's a mailing list.
And he's not off the mailing list,
guys.
That's why they keep responding
why?
To Mamu.
He's not off the mailing list. Why?
Because
he's recognized.
It's a cycle.
That's good.
It's a cycle.
They will meet anyway, let's talk international football.
Your hit music station. My station. Your station. It's everybody's station. ZFM Stereo. The Casa Lauda Premier Soccer League. La Liga. Serie A. The English Premier League, the Bundesliga. It all comes together with the Castles on the Castle Lager World Football Report.
All right, your Premier League results over the weekend. Manchester City, good road win over Leicester City. 1-0 winners there.
What a free kick.
Kevin De Bruyne. He is some player, that boy. And then Tottenham Hotspur coming from the dead to win 3-2 over Bournemouth. Brentford, 1-1 draw with Wolves. While Brighton massacred Chelsea 4-1. Graham Potter with his first loss as Chelsea head coach. Crystal Palace, 1-0 winners over Southampton. While Newcastle... keep marching on. 4-0 winners over Aston Villa. Put some respect on Eddie Howe's name. Fulham 0-0 draw with Everton. Leeds upending Liverpool at Anfield. The first loss for Liverpool, I think, in over 70 games. 2-1 winners. Leeds ran out. And then Arsenal 5-0 winners over Nottingham Forest. That's what you do to a team that's at the bottom of the table. Beat them 5. But the match we want to talk about, Manchester United forward Marcus Rashford, who scored the winner in the Red Devils 1-0 victory over West Ham, says there's a different energy at the club now and that he is feeling fully motivated after poor performances last season cast doubt about his future at Old Trafford.
I don't think we played our best today, but I think if we want to reach our ambitions for the season, then we're going to have to win games like that. So we obviously want to perform better, but it's nice to win in that way as well. To be honest, it's a completely different energy around the whole the club and the training ground and stuff like that. So that for a start puts me in a better headspace, and I just feel really motivated now. Last year I think I struggled at times, more just mental things, not really, you know, my own performance. It was other things off the pitch.
Marcus Rashford talking about the change in energy at the football club. It's bound to be positive. They're winning football matches.
Yeah, I think for him, you know, he described himself very well because we always talked about it, that there's something wrong with Rashford. Even his body language in the matches last season, it was off, you know. But now you can actually see that he wants it. And people thought that he was going to be offloaded. And we kept on saying, no, he's too talented to be offloaded. He is a very good player. He just needs a change of scenery. I think with the coming in of Ten Hag, I think he just rejuvenated. And you can actually see that Ten Hag believes in this boy.
Yeah, he does.
He is actually taking him as his number one striker at the moment. So you can see that he is now repaying.
Well,
you know, they've got a very good connection.
He scored his 100th goal for the club over the weekend. That 1-0, the goal that won them the game against West Ham. And that's also going to give him a bit of a boost, is it, to Marcus Rashford. Now, obviously, playing for hopefully a role in Qatar.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he is putting in the type of performances that will ensure that he's on the plane to Qatar for England. I think he's a good option for England and the way that England would like to play.
Yeah.
He's never going to play right through the middle because Harry Kane will occupy that position. But when you take a look at those that will play next to Harry Kane, you certainly, if you're Raheem Sterling, who's never put a foot wrong for England, he might be not in great form for Chelsea, but whenever he pulls on that England jumper, always performs well. And then you'd love to have Marcus Rashford playing in that three-pronged attack, either him or Jadon Sancho, but the options are there.
Saka to come off the bench.
Yeah, Saka as well. And I think now Saka's been injured as well. So I think it'll be important that the likes of Rashford are able to stay injury-free heading into Qatar, because the injuries, I think, are going to be a big part of the narrative in these final 2 weeks before the tournament starts. So great for Marcus Rashford after the last 2 years where he's had to enjoy a lot of criticism and himself, you know, doubting himself. There was even talk that he should be leaving Manchester United. But now he's increasingly looking like, you know what, especially with the pressure and the talk around Ronaldo, I think he's justifying his presence in the team with performances.
Yeah, absolutely, and doing a job for Ten Hag and for Manchester United. So the inconsistent Rashford becoming consistent, also becoming consistent, and I'll throw this in here, is Arsenal, and I think it's important to speak about them. They had a bit of a blip last time out, but that's how you bounce back. You show that you've got the character to stand up. Yeah, they were playing bottom of the table, Nottingham Forest, but if you meet a team at the bottom of the table, brutalize them.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what they did, and they didn't do it by just scoring goals. They did it with playing good football as well. You know, you can actually see that, you know, this is a team that can do something. You know, for me, they might not be the outright favorites to win the championship, but they are capable.
They're putting their hand up.
They're putting their hand up to win this championship, and they are playing entertaining football as well. I was also happy for our Zimbabwean boy.
Reece Nelson, two goals.
He came on and contributed two goals. And that was actually fantastic. And the faith that the coach has got in him. He is somebody who was almost forgotten.
Yeah,
and
went out alone to the Netherlands.
You would think he was gone, but he is back now. I like the way Arteta does his things. At Arsenal.
The other thing also, I think people are going to start giving. People seem reluctant to give Arsenal credit. And people are now saying, oh, this is the Nottingham Forest. That's the bottom of the list. But that's the same Nottingham Forest that beat Liverpool. So it's not a bad Nottingham Forest side. So let's give credit to Arsenal when they do well.
Yeah.
They were able to put five past this Forest side.
Yeah, exactly.
A side that beat Liverpool. So Arteta is doing a phenomenal job at Arsenal. And I think people have got to start taking Arsenal very seriously, because they are picking up those 3 points. And that's all they need to do.
That's all they need to do. Just rack up the 3 points and see where they are at the end of the season. They're on 31 points on top of the table now. 2 points ahead of Manchester City, who are in second, and then Tottenham Hotspur is in third. Newcastle United is
Newcastle.
In fourth. Newcastle United.
The Magpies,
with all the money they have, anyhow, doing a fantastic job with the team that he has. And then Manchester United is in fifth, with Chelsea in sixth. Fulham is there or thereabouts. They're also playing some pretty good football. Next up, let's go to Spain.
The league that makes football all so beautiful, where artistry and strokes of genius are the order of any day, where the game is played with a smile and Luis Suarez adds some bite.
Suarez! Oh, superb! Two goals in barely a minute.
All the youth from the Spanish La Liga on ZFM Sport.
Your La Liga weekend results look like this. Real Mallorca 1-1 draw with Espanyol. Almeria 3-1 winners over Celta Vigo. Cadiz 3-2 winners over Atletico Madrid. While Rayo Vallecano 1-0 at Sevilla. Osasuna 2-0 winners over Real Valladolid. While at the Athletic Club beat Villarreal 1-0. Real Betis 2-0 winners over Real Sociedad. And then Barcelona with a last gasp winner, 1-0 winners over Valencia. But Carlo Ancelotti says an invented penalty cost Real Madrid all 3 points in a 1-1 draw with Girona last night. Let's hear from football pundit Janusz Michalik.
Michalik.
You can't react any differently when that ball comes in. And had it hit his arm, I still say... well, what's he supposed to do? I mean, yeah, it's a natural decision to be afraid of that. But okay, I would say, you know, there's got to be a handball. So I think it was a bad decision. I don't think this was a penalty. For me, the way I look at it, it's such a crucial call, and it shouldn't matter if it's a big team or a small team, because everybody brings this situation that sometimes smaller teams get. No. It's a crucial decision, and you better get it right. If you're not sure, then, you know, go with what's logical. And to me, logic said that this wasn't a penalty.
And so, Ofe, we're discussing the penalty and ball rule. Right, guys. So, in your view, you're a Madrid fan. Yeah. With your head, penalty or not penalty?
No, it wasn't a penalty.
Ghost penalty. Mike, there's got to be some cleaning up that IFAB has got to do on the handball. What is and what isn't, especially in the VAR era?
Yeah, I think that's the biggest problem. It's not actually VAR. You know, people blame VAR. VAR is just a system that's been put in place. And VAR as a system is actually excellent as a system.
Yeah, as a system.
It's a human error. And of course, there are grey margins when it comes to VAR, where, for example, where they say, you know what, clear and obvious. Mm. Because I think that phrase is one that has also brought about a lot of confusion as far as VAR is concerned. Mm-hmm. I think a system like VAR, when you're using technology should never have grey areas.
It shouldn't.
Yeah. It should either be this or that.
It's like the offside rule.
Yeah.
You're either offside
or you're not.
It's not open to interpretation.
So the handball is a bit confusing, because it now comes down to language and interpretation. They talk about, you know what, the silhouette of your body.
Yeah.
They talk about, you know, unnatural and natural hand positions.
They talk about distance from the ball.
They talk about reaction time. All those things are subjective.
Yeah.
I'll give Michael Oliver, for example. Mm. I think in 2 weeks, separated just by 2 weeks, he refereed two matches in which in one game he didn't give a penalty.
Yeah.
And then in 2 weeks later, gave a penalty for exactly the same situation.
Yes, yeah.
Exactly the same situation. Yeah. The first game, it was said that the defender couldn't react, couldn't take his hand off, even though it was in a natural position.
Yeah.
And then in the second, he gives the penalty. Why are you giving the penalty? So it's that subjectivity for me that makes the handball rule very confusing to referees and to fans alike.
Yeah.
Just make it clear cut.
Yes.
So for me, guys, I think that IFAB, the rule makers of the game, need to now make rules according to the available technology, and less so on the history of the game, because I think they're using too many legacy decisions. They need to make it so that it's easy through technology to define what is and what isn't, and then I think things will be a lot clearer. However, that draw resulting in Real Madrid going back to the top of the table with 32 points, 1 point ahead of Barcelona now. Atletico Madrid is in third on 23.
That El Clasico loss doesn't look too bad after all now.
It doesn't at all. It's a long season, and there's only 12 games.
They just have to hang in there, Barcelona.
Yeah.
They're up against a very good Real Madrid, and it's very obvious that, you know what, any side that finishes against Real Madrid is going to be champions.
Yes.
Because those two teams, I think there's a gulfing class between them and the rest of the league.
Yeah.
And so they just have to carry on, just, you know, you just, yeah,
beat the other teams.
Yeah.
And that gulf in class is seen between the difference between second in Barcelona and then third, Atletico Madrid. There is 8 points between the two. So that shows you that Atletico is currently the best of the rest. Real Betis is currently in fourth position. There is action today. Elche takes on Getafe. Let's go to Italy now. Napoli, 4-0 winners over Sassuolo. Napoli is on something. Juventus, 1-0 winners over Lecce. Atalanta, 2-0 winners over Empoli. Cremonese and Udinese played out nil all draw. Spezia beaten by Fiorentina 2-1. And then Lazio beaten by Salernitana in a surprise result, 3-1 in the Eternal City. Inter Milan, 3-0 winners over Sampdoria. But AC Milan head coach Stefano Pioli, he admitted to being disappointed with his side's performance as their unbeaten away league run ended against Torino in a 2-1 defeat.
The results were decided in the penalty box, and our opponents were better than us, in the sense that we had the chances to score, but we lacked the accuracy and quality to win the game. Conceding two quick goals made life difficult for us. After that, we looked hungry, but then the game became messy, with lots of breaks in play. We gave it our all, but it just wasn't our night.
Mike, would you say that Torino managed this game well, in the sense that they didn't let AC Milan get sort of ahead of steam?
Yeah, I was very surprised with this. I didn't expect, because this is a Torino side that's a bang average.
The bang average.
They've lost their best players. Belotti went to Roma. Mm. And then they lost, of course, their centre-back who crossed town to go to Juventus. So this is a side that I fully expected AC Milan to beat. Mm. And I think we'll have to take a look maybe in the sort of like last couple of matches before the World Cup break, whether this is just a blip or the start of a worrying trend.
Yeah.
I suspect it's a blip. You will have days like this. You will have games like this, you know, where you lose a match. Mm. And we can't read too much into this game.
Yeah.
Because games like this, they invariably happen. You know, your Man City will lose a game.
Yeah.
Real Madrid has just dropped points against Girona. It happens.
It happens in a league campaign. But what they will have to guard against is letting it become a trend, Alois, because when you've got a runaway train like Napoli, you want to stay within touching distance, and you let them go, they're gone.
They need to keep up the pace, because Napoli are not stopping. So they need to actually arrest the slide. If it's a blip, let it be so. But if it carries on, they lose another game, two games, then Napoli are gone.
Napoli's gone with it. Tonight's match is Hellas Verona takes on Roma, while Monza takes on Bologna. In Germany, key results from the weekend: RB Leipzig 2-0 winners over Bayer Leverkusen. Eintracht Frankfurt beaten at home by Borussia Dortmund 2-1. Union Berlin 2-1 winners over Borussia Mönchengladbach. And Bayern Munich, they demolished visitors Mainz 6-2 on Saturday, with Sadio Mane scoring once and setting up two more goals as the Bavarians took over the lead in the Bundesliga for 24 hours. And of course, Union Berlin winning their game and reassuming their reign at the top of the Bundesliga.
Momentum.
They've got positive momentum, and so they're sitting on top of the league with 26 points. Bayern Munich 1 point behind them on 25 points. Freiburg is in third. Schuss, the German ambassador, must be absolutely happy. Borussia Dortmund is in fourth on 22 points. That's all we have time for. We're back tomorrow for Top Hit Tuesday. Don't miss it. May God richly bless you. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Manande, out.
And it's Messi. It is the cleanest of clean finishes and the best on the planet.
The biggest sports stories.
Chelsea, UEFA Champions League winners of 2021.
The biggest interviews.
That such a great spectacle is ruined by such thuggish behaviour.
And all the analysis right here.
He's the one player that has the arrogance to think that he can play in any stadium in the world and any pitch in the world in front of any player in the world and take them on.
Every weekday, it's my sport, it's your sport. It's ZFM Sport on ZFM Stereo. My station, your station.